my pleasure to introduce today's guest, singer for the band Train, Pat Monahan. Welcome, Pat.
Thank you. Hi.
And you had an absolutely beautiful day for a great performance on the Today Show this morning.
Thank you.
And I know you had some other playing to do as well this morning. It has to be days like today where you play outside in New York City all day long that make you say, this is what I signed up for when I was thinking of being a rock star.
You know, it really is. You don't really sign up to be a rock star. You sign up to hope one day you can actually make a living at playing music because that's what you want. So days like today far surpass any past hopes that I had for this.
Oh, and so when Judy in Erie, PA asks, has the music business turned out to be everything you expected, what's the answer there?
I think the answer is very personal. I've had an amazing career so far, and the longer I'm in, the deeper I go, so the more amazing people I meet. And I don't use that word as easily as you might think. When I say amazing, I really mean they're warm, generous, kind people, whether they're fans of the band or people at our record company or you know, John Landau and Barbara Carr and our managers, Brendan O'Brien. We really have been able to surround ourselves with incredible people.
You know, I know you're from Erie, Pennsylvania, and I just read that one from Judy. The Erie, PA crowd really has claimed you as their own, and they're very present here on the question list.
Well, I belong to them.
Melissa Wensler wants to know, just wondered how much growing up in a smaller town and then moving away influences your songwriting.
Well, I think everything in life has to influence a writer, a performer, or any kind of art form, a painter, just as much as a tragedy would form some type of mold for you, not necessarily define you, but definitely help you be defined. I think it was a great blessing, not only being raised in a smaller town, but also being raised in a big family within a small town. So I feel like it's done a great deal of positive for me.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, someone had actually written in, I didn't copy it from the list, but since you mentioned a big family, they had mentioned that you seem like a nice Irish boy, and do you draw much from that heritage?
You know, I don't know about heritage as much as maybe my father does, you know, and my father would certainly want to give credit to the Irish, and I guess my experience with Irish people and Ireland is that there's a great love for words. So I would feel that I definitely fall into that category, but not that, you know, other nationalities don't have that same fondness, but there seems to be something magical that comes from Irish writings. I don't know.
One more Erie, PA question. Dave Steiner says, Pat, have you ever thought of playing back in your hometown under a different cover for the glory of the old days?
I have thought of that. You know, I've often thought, I wonder if I'm not on tour one day, if I could, you know, just get kind of a whole bunch of guys together and play maybe one Train song and a whole bunch of other cool things. So, yeah, I have thought of that, and eventually I'll do it. But I'll probably have to do it when we're not so busy.
Right. As I'm sure happens every time you do an interview like this, folks ask about inspiration for different songs, and rather than go through every single song, the one that seems to be drawing the most attention, and you played it this morning, the Calling All Angels song. Can you just give us a little background on that?
Well, I think without trying to define the lyric itself and everything, you know, as I said before, it's hard for this life to not influence you. I know that after 9/11, everyone was different. Everything was different. There was a way that people communicated with one another that had sympathy in it instead of frustration of, my day is busy and I don't have time for this. It became, hey, let's slow down and pay attention to others because they're really important. You know, loss of people that you've loved, or, you know, great things, you know, having, you know, found a little girl that had been missing for months, you know, all these things combined form a kind of a design for your life and what you want out of it. And I guess calling all angels is what I want out of it. I think that we are the angels here, and somehow we need to rise above what we see on television every day.
Lynn Wright, then I would like to ask you, since you're from Erie and still live here, is it hard for you to keep, quote-unquote, grounded now that you're famous?
And I still live where?
Do you still live in Erie? Lynn,
well, you know, I don't live in Erie right now.
And but as far as your, here's something that I'm really wondering, why I pair this one with the inspiration question. Is there a, you know, some bands write love songs, and some bands write party songs, or maybe you'll get like a blue-collar band that writes about the steel mill and the pickup truck. Is there a theme that you find particularly inspiring, and is it harder for you to stay in touch with that theme as your success grows?
Well, here's what's happening to me personally as a lyric writer. I'm getting better at reaching different parts of my personality or my characters. I think the theme is I find things to be troublesome in life in general, but I have great hope. Like, there's always a bright side. I mean, you have to, it isn't a situation that is the negative, it's what you do with it. It's how you process it. It's what your brain tells you to react. And for me, on this album, I was able to come from a place where I think things are pretty funny. And so on songs like Save the Day and All American Girl, and even Get to Me, there's humor, and I hope people get that, that as much as when people listen to Calling All Angels and Drops of Jupiter, yeah, there's this warm yearning for someone or something, but it's the same yearning in those other songs, but coming from a way that looks a lot lighter at it. You know, like, it's kind of funny. Mm-hmm. You know, Save the Day is about a guy who, you know, is in a nightmare situation because he wants to be a rock star, but he only owns a karaoke machine. So he sings the Hokey Pokey because that's what gets people going, you know. So there's humor to everything. And I think that on this record I was able to get that, and I felt it was a lot easier for me this time than ever.
Okay. The you mentioned September 11th, and that happened sort of right in the middle of you being on tour last time, and a few people wrote in about that. Someone from Yuba City, California says it was soon after 9/11 and raining, but the concert was not canceled. You guys chose to go on with it. I'm wondering if you've done enough of this tour, enough performing for this album yet, to get a sense of how the audience is different.
Not at all. We haven't even begun. We did a show in New York City, you know, a couple of, like the Today Show. We've done very short shows, one in New Jersey, but we haven't toured yet. We're about to find out in Europe what a real long train show is going to be like. And so we're about to find all that out, but once I know, I'll let everyone else know as well.
It'll be interesting to know. Jim Allen in Newport, Rhode Island, wrote in with compliments about Drops of Jupiter and asked, how did you come up with such a powerful rendition of this? Does the song go through renditions?
Yeah, well, this particular song started as a lyric. I woke up having had these words in my head. I fell asleep and woke up right away. And Back in the Atmosphere was in my head, and I just knew that there was something too personal and powerful to sleep on. And so I went to like a room in my house and started writing lyrics that became melody, that became you know, a piano part, that became a song. And so, yeah, it came in phases, but it actually started as a dream.
You mentioned touring, and people have written in. Some folks saw you with Sheryl Crow, others with Matchbox 20. From my impression, speaking with musicians, they don't have a lot of interaction with the bands that they go on the road with. Is that the case with you as well, or do you notice the difference when you're touring with one group or another, or performing with one group or another, and do you have a preference?
Well, I consider Rob Thomas my friend. You know, Rob and I spent some quality time. We didn't have to spend a lot of time to know that we're similar in a lot of ways, as far as, you know, our goal in life is much bigger than, hey, let's write a couple of hit songs. Our goal in life is to be kind people, to treat people the way we would want to be treated, no matter what our role is in this life. And I really love that about him. I didn't really get to know Sheryl Crow all that well, but the few moments that I did spend with her, I liked her very much. There just isn't a whole lot of time to do that. You know, when you're on the road working, there's a groove that you get into, and you kind of don't want to mess with it. You know, whether it's going for a run in the morning, coming home and having lunch and then relaxing, or whatever it is that someone does, going to a bookstore, you kind of want to just let that groove, because if it works and you're having good shows, then you want to be consistent.
Steve Chaney from a place called Muscle Shoals says, Pat, would you say that you've been lucky to not have been defined as a band by your first single, Meet Virginia? After all, Train has been able to broaden their sound overall through the last two albums successfully. So that's an interesting idea, sort of embracing or defying definition. Is that something you're conscious of, or is it out of your hands?
We don't really spend too much time thinking about defining a sound. I really appreciate the comment that we were able to, you know, kind of get to a place that we weren't on our first album. There's always someone or many people who love the first album from a band. I don't know if it's quality as much as it is being one of the first. And there's something empowering about that. I know as a fan that I really like to turn people on to things, because then you feel like you're a part of it. And then after a while, when you become popular, where many, many people know about you, it's not as exciting. So it may not be a quality issue as much as, you know, kind of feeling that togetherness, you know, that family connection, whatever it might be. But I think that as time goes on, we evolve in a really major way as songwriters. I think as songwriters, music writers, lyric writing, I think that it's coming a long way. And yeah, I'm glad that no one has defined us by a single. I think that that's the power of radio, is really doing wonders for you, but also taking a lot away from you. And I think that we've been able to survive it.
Soda in Chicago says, the new CD is great. We heard the song Out Here in the Open during the Jeep tour, and some of us were wondering why it wasn't included on the new CD.
Well,
there are a few questions about, well, what about this song, and
right,
how
can okay.
you support as bonus?
Great, great, great.
Uh-huh.
That's a great question. We finished at least 25, 30 songs, and so there are many songs that weren't ever heard that we did complete. We plan on setting up a place for people to start hearing this music, you know, for a day. You get to hear what, you know, a couple of, one or two things at a time. But just because they aren't on this album doesn't make them go away. You know, some of them may end up on B-sides for, you know, international singles. Some of them may end up in movies or, you know, television, or we have them, you know, they're kind of like just songs that we really love. It wasn't a matter of quality. It was a matter of making this album sound like an album that had, you know, some, I don't know, how, a connection between each song.
Debbie in Lake Charles, Louisiana, wrote in. She says, I just want to say what a beautiful song Jupiter is, and that it has real special meaning to me. It was on the radio around the time my husband passed away. And she goes on to describe that the song has great meaning to her. What is that like when your song becomes part of someone else's life like that? Is that how you know you're famous, when your songs have the life of their own?
I wouldn't say that's when you or how you know you're famous. I think what it is it's when you know that you're actually participating in someone's life. You know, I'm a music fan. I grew up listening to the Beatles and jazz and Led Zeppelin and James Taylor and, you know, just some music that just kind of came and went. You know, Michael Jackson, whatever, anything and everything. And there are songs that I'll never forget where I was. I'll never forget what it did for me. what it did to me. You know, skipping school and listening to Van Halen albums. You know, there's to know that people are relating to our music the way I've, you know, the way other songs from other artists have affected me. It's just, it's almost like I can't accept it a lot of times. Like I can't imagine that amazing feeling, because that's really why musicians become musicians. It's an amazing feeling to know that something you did is affecting people positively.
Jeanette Liu writes in from Australia, pointing out that the Counting Crows are among the bands who promote bootlegging of shows. And someone else wrote in asking about when is the album going to be available on iTunes. And I had to laugh when I saw the iTunes question after you and Katie this morning were joking about calling them albums instead of CDs.
Yeah, right.
Now soon there won't even be CDs. You'll just download it or whatever. I just wanted to get your reaction to...
Yeah, people won't even call them songs. They'll call them bits.
Right.
You know, I think that iTunes is probably going to get this album really quickly if they don't already have it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Calling All Angels is on iTunes, and there have been a large number of downloads.
Do you have a strong feeling about file trading and bootlegging and all of that sort of business?
You know, I'm not one to promote anything. I'm just one to kind of relax about everything. You know, if people want to come to show and tape it, and the people that own the venue, they don't mind, you know, I'm cool with it. If people want to swap our music and make their own compilation CDs, and, you know, I'm cool with all that, too. I know that college kids, you know, have $20, and, you know, they need books and food, and buying a CD just isn't going to be part of their agenda. So I understand, you know, that you can't ask these kids to go buy it if there's a way to get it for free. But I also know that there's something about holding an album in your hands with the artwork and the lyrics and the pictures and feeling like, you know, you can sit and be with it while you listen.
Well, our time is flying, and I appreciate you taking as much as you could from your day to be with us and take some questions. And I don't want to let you go without giving you an opportunity to just have an open question and maybe give us some closing comments before we have to let you go.
Well, I guess I would just say thanks. You know, it's amazing still that there are all these questions that people want to know about the band and our music, and it always feels really incredibly good to know that we're touching people and they want to know more, and we really appreciate that and always will. We don't ever take this for granted. And we start a tour in June that will take us all through the United States, back into Europe, back into Australia. We'll go to Japan for the first time. And I can't express our enthusiasm enough for these shows, headlining for the first time in a long time, and playing this new album that we couldn't be more proud and excited about. So thanks for the questions, and we all hope to see you in these coming months.
Great. Well, thanks very much for taking the time with us. Good luck on the tour.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye.
Many thanks to our guest, Pat Monahan of Train. The official Train website is at trainline.com. If you missed Train's performance on NBC's Today Show this morning, you can watch the video of it on the Today Show site at today.msnbc.com. You can also find information on past performers in the Toyota Concert Series there. Remember, you found this audio chat at livevideo.msnbc.com. Details on all of our chats, both text and audio, can be found on the chat page at chat.msnbc.com, where you can also listen to past guest chats and sign up for the chat newsletter. The chat newsletter is the best way to stay informed about news chat topics and chat event guests. I appreciate your feedback on these events. Please send your thoughts and recommendations to will@msnbc.com. I'm Will Femia. Thanks for listening.